Meanwhile, the doomsday clock of the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists last January was set at 2 minutes to midnight. That's the closest it's been to terminal disaster since 1947. The announcement of the setting mentioned the two major familiar threats, the threat of nuclear war, which is increasing, the threat of global warming, which is increasing further, and it added a third for the first time, the undermining of democracy. That's the third threat, along with global warming and nuclear war. And that was quite appropriate, because functioning democracy offers the only hope of overcoming these threats. They're not going to be dealt with by major institutions, state or private, acting without massive public pressure, which means that the means of democratic functioning have to be kept alive, used the way the Sunshine Movement did it, the way the great mass demonstration in the early 80s did it, and the way we continue today. Well, there are threats to functioning democracy all over Europe, the United States, Latin America, everywhere. There's a lot of commentary these days on trying to explain, you know, what's behind this erosion of democracy, and there are sober analysts who try to penetrate beyond superficialities. I'll quote one to New York Times, to seek the psychic disorders that provoke this irrational development and impulses. I'm quoting deep in our psyches, such as fear of the future, a sense of our own mortality, you know, all sorts of profound emotions which have somehow spread over the world in some kind of irrational epidemic of irrationality. It's not necessary to appeal to that. There's some very simple answers to what it's all about. You don't have to go to obscure sources to find it. So, for example, you can read the words of Thomas Piketty, by now a very famous economist, and his colleagues, who simply point out that, quoting them, an economy that fails to deliver growth for half of the people for an entire generation is bound to generate discontent with the status quo and rejection of establishment politics. Not very obscure. And of course, all this is enhanced when economic growth has concentrated wealth radically in a very small sector of the population, while the majority stagnates or declines, real wages stagnate, social benefits are eliminated or undermined. In Europe, it's even worse because the decision-making in the European countries has been shifted from the national governments, where people have some input, to the unelected troika in Brussels, the unelected European Commission, the International Monetary Fund, and the European Bank. That's where the basic decisions are made. People understand they just have no voice. It, of course, leads to anger and resentment, kind of the collapse of the centrist parties, as we see in election after election. Actually, it's pretty similar in the United States. The parties retain their names, but they've essentially collapsed in very striking ways. The United States, as I'm sure you know, has a long history of essentially bought elections. You can predict the outcome of an election for Congress or the executive with remarkable precision simply by looking at the single variable of campaign spending. And that's the least of it.
Oh, please don't you think, babe, that I have been wrong to cry. you wilting. Come on.
created for ourselves
has given pests the opportunity to create serious public health issues.
Mosquitoes may transmit West Nile virus.
Cockroaches can trigger asthma.
Insect stings force 500,000 people to the emergency room
every year.
And rodents could spread hantavirus.
But we can make it harder for these pests to survive.
To learn how, visit pestworld.org.
It's up to all of us, you know.
Tonight, here on the Plastic Sushi Strawberries and Thyme Sound Collage, we are celebrating the real arrival of spring with all the blossoming flowers and blooming trees. We began that set with a Clubland remix, Dancing DJs versus Roxette. Fading Like a Flower from Clubland 7. And then we heard Rorm Baker and Rochberg with Spring Music 2 Toccata. And overlaid on top of that, some thoughts on Doomsday and other issues from Noam Chomsky, as recorded by Chuck Yu on April 11th of this year. And then we heard Janis Joplin, Flower in the Sun, and Henry Mancini gave us Springtime for Hitler from the History of Space Age Pop, Volume 1, Melodies and Mischief. And then The Cult with a very alternate version of Wildflower, the extended rock mix that I found on Rare Cult Disc 4. And that track had one of the scariest audio clips that I know of. A witness to the 9/11 catastrophe, the 9/11 events, talking about people jumping out of windows trying to save themselves. Well, not save their lives, but save themselves from dying by burning. Yes, very scary audio clip in there. Backing me up right now is Vangelis, and this is Movement 5 from Soil Festivities. So, you know, this month, May, it's National Bike Month, and the third week of May is Bike to Work Week. It's an excellent time of year to try this healthful and non-polluting way to travel if you aren't currently doing it yourself. You know, bicycling can be fun, healthy, and enjoyable, but it's important to follow the rules of the road. A motorist who's passing a bicycle must wait until it's safe to pass and then give the bicyclist adequate clearance. On the other hand, the cyclist should try to make it easy for the motorist to pass. You know, no hogging the road, no trying to block them. Because in a contest between you on a perhaps 15, 20-pound bike and a motorist in a 2-ton vehicle, you ain't gonna win. No, yeah. So a cyclist should make it easy for the motorist to pass, but only if it's safe. when it's not safe to allow the car to pass. Go ahead and use that full lane. No matter what, though, watch out for distracted drivers because they're everywhere. Yeah, people texting. I pretty much try to adopt the attitude when I see a car that the driver's probably texting. If they're far enough away that going at the speed, then I relax a little bit. But if they're coming fast enough to hit me, then I worry that that might happen. Cyclists have the same rights and the same responsibilities as other drivers. Drive your bike like the vehicle it is, and every week can be Bike to Work Week. This has been a message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community and Educational Radio. This afternoon, I was listening to WMFO while I was making my lunch, and Outside the Lines was on. The Outside the Lines crew is on every Friday at 1 p.m. And it's a very unique program. It's basically folks from the Outside the Lines studio in Medford, which is an alternative arts-based day program collectively run by artists for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And if you didn't already know it, one of the things that I take care of, I volunteer to be WMFO's public service director. So, you know, of course, we're a non-commercial radio station and we don't play commercials. Instead, we play public service messages. And I take care of those for WMFO. And when I hear people reading them, I take special note and I listen if they make any mistakes. And if people make the same mistakes in one of these PSAs to read, well, then I consider that my problem to take care of because it wasn't worded right. But today, Michaela was reading that May is National Bike Month. And she was stumbling a little bit, and I was concerned that way. And then I realized that Michaela actually has some problems reading. And so that was the aspect of the challenge. But, you know, everybody in the studio here and all of us in Radio Land were listening as she got through to it. And as she got to the end, I'd say, you know, a little tear in my eyes for having done that. Good job, Michaela. And that's what everybody else, I think, here in Studio A at the time, the Outside the Lines crew was thinking as well. Good job, Michaela. And remember, May is National Bike Month. It'd be a great time to start biking if you aren't already doing so. Well, we have got, whether this is going to be one or two sets, let's see. I think it's going to be just about one set here left. And we are going to have in this set Movement 3, Evangelist's Soil Festivities. And we're going to hear the last excerpt from Noam Chomsky, as recorded by Chuck Yu, April 11th. Internationalism or Extinction was the name of the talk. And we're going to sandwich that between some Pizzicato 5 and some Donna Summer, and then get to a little bit of a crazy Wendy Carlos spring remix of sorts. But it all starts right now. It all starts right now. Right now. Yeah, that's what I was saying. With the Flower Drum Song by Pizzicato 5. Here at WMFO in Medford. Tufts Freeform Radio.
私のことを感じるのなら答えて
You can predict the outcome of an election for Congress or the executive with remarkable precision simply by looking at the single variable of campaign spending. And that's the least of it. This means that a congressional representative is spending hours every day trying to appeal to the donor class to get them elected next time. Meanwhile, hordes of lobbyists are swarming into the congressional offices, meeting with staffers, writing the legislation which ultimately gets signed. This goes right through the 2016 election that was shown in an important study by Tom Ferguson, many of you know, who's been in the lead for years in exposing and analyzing these developments, and it continues. The effects are pretty obvious. They've been studied in mainstream academic political science. It shows quite convincingly that a large majority of the population is simply unrepresented, meaning there's no correlation between their own preferences and attitudes and the votes of their own representatives who are listening to other voices. Till you get to the very top of the wealth income scale, you get very limited representation. Well, people don't have to read academic social science to know about all this, know it in their lives. All of this gets enhanced further by the very successful, in many ways, efforts to atomize the population, to separate people from one another, following Margaret Thatcher's famous maxim that there is no society, there's only individuals. Thatcher was unwittingly, no doubt, paraphrasing Karl Marx, who condemned the autocratic governments of the 19th century because they wanted to turn people into what he called a sack of potatoes, isolated individuals, amorphous, can't get together, can't confront concentrated power alone. That a crisis of democracy would come out of this is no big surprise. And it's worth bearing in mind from the point of view of the designers of the global system. That's not a bad thing. They don't regard democracy as a value that's worth preserving. And it's very important to recognize how deeply rooted this is in the conceptions, attitudes of powerful sectors as far back as you can go without any change. It's a constant battle. So it's pretty well, you can go back to the earliest democratic revolution, England in the 17th century. There's a war in the mid-17th century between king and parliament. But it turned out that a large part of the population didn't want to be represented either by king or parliament, as they put it in their own words. They wanted to be represented by countrymen like ourselves, who know the people's sores. The elite was furious that the men of best quality, as they called themselves, were outraged that the rabble had become so, quoting them, so curious and so arrogant that they will never find humility to submit to a civil rule. They were even making outrageous demands for help, education, democratization of law, and other such crimes against good order. Well, you go to a century later to the American Revolution, it turns out that the framers of the Constitution had very much the same views. They were, of course, drawn from the wealthy elites. The leading figures were Alexander Hamilton and James Madison. Hamilton explained, quoting him, that the Constitution is designed to be a defense against depredations which the democratic spirit is apt to make on property. Okay, we've got a warning against that. And it was generally agreed at the convention, I'm quoting again, that certainly defense of property is the principal object of society. James Madison is the leading framer. He elaborated this in great detail at the Constitutional Convention. Explained that the Constitution is designed to secure the permanent interests of the country against innovation. The permanent interests are property rights. Innovation is threats to property rights. So effective power was to be placed in the hands of what he called the wealth of the nation, the more responsible set of men, the people who have sympathy for property and its rights. And the government must be constituted, quoting Madison, so as to protect the minority of the opulent against the majority. And if you look closely at the devices in the Constitution, they were constructed to ensure this outcome. I think a great book on the subject that just appeared, it's a major scholarly work on the Constitutional Convention by Professor Harvard Michael Corman, called The Framers' Coup. The coup carried out by the framers against the democratizing instincts and interests of the general population. As he put it, the Constitution is a conservative counter-revolution against excessive democracy. Now, that's called for by the rabble, the rascal multitude. Now, this is, if there was time, it would be interesting to go through the record, but this is very common, almost without a break, case after case, right up to the present. And the cheerleaders for the neoliberalism like to echo Ronald Reagan's preaching about how the government is the problem, not the solution. They don't believe a word of it any more than Reagan did under Reagan. In fact, the government grew. State force has to be a live option. That's understood because of the necessity of to maintain what's called sound economics. Sound economics transmutes very easily into luxury yachts for the rich and a bag of potato chips for everyone else. That's sound economics. And if you need force to protect it, that's what you do. That goes far back.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Plastic Sushi Strawberries and Thyme Sound Collage. Only here on WMFO in Medford. Tufts Community Freeform Radio. Sometimes very freeform. We began the last set. Started about half an hour ago with Pizzicato 5, the Japanese band. That was Flower Drum Song. And then Vangelis with Movement 3 from Soil Festivities. And we followed that with Donna Summer and Spring Affair, the In the Air trance mix. And mixed on top of both of those were excerpts from a talk that Noam Chomsky gave on April 11th, kindly recorded by Chuck Yu and broadcast on WMBR 88.1 FM, first on your radio dial, one of our sister stations, and subsequently here on WMFO in Medford. And most recently, we've been listening to a real sonic montage remix of a remix. This is my remix of Chuck Yu's remix of Wendy Carlos's Spring and Vangelis Soil Festivities Movements 2 and 3 and Leonard Cohen Anyhow and Big Sur Foghorn Turn on the Sunlight and the Carolina Chocolate Drops Hit 'em Up Style and Political World. Yeah, quite a sonic montage here. So thanks so much for listening. Yeah.
I know you can't forgive me.
I think this is the Leonard Cohen part. So, Savoir Faire is not going to be on the air this week. Instead, Karina said she'd be coming in to sub for him. So, we'll let this play out for that. But, along with thanking you for listening, I wanted to mention once again that I'll be a guest on Academics on Air this Sunday at 2 p.m. with Marissa and Jenna here on WMFO in Medford. And then on Thursday at 5 p.m., I'll be a guest on Maria Kudare's show, Default Mode, on WZBC 90.3 on your FM dial. Well, we'll be talking about neuroscience and some philosophy and some psychology, but I'll mostly be talking about Professor Dan Dennett, one of my real intellectual idols and who I've been privileged to take a total of 7 classes now, but most recently the fall and spring. He was teaching a seminar on 50 years of consciousness research in the fall, specifically his 50-year career researching it. And then contemporary research in consciousness studies. Well, we'll let this keep going here on WMFO in Medford.
It's a shame.